The Gemara discusses how when Hashem commanded Moshe on Har Sinai to write the Torah, so he was instructed to write the Tagin, to put a certain amount of lines on top of some letters in the Torah. And Moshe asked Hashem, what's the point of this? Why do we have to put these lines here on top of certain letters? And Hashem said, because one day in the future, there's going to be a person named Rabbi Akiva, and he's going to be able to darshan out halachos from these Tagin. Now, the Gemara goes on to talk about a story about Moshe sitting Rabbi Akiva's class, but we see that it's not only the specific letters that we darshan things from, it's not just something that's written malay or chaser, an additional hey or yud to teach certain halachot, but even from the Tagin, as we see that you're able to learn halachot. And now, today, we're going to be able to learn together a beautiful idea about not learning something from the letters in the Torah, but actually about the spaces in the Torah. A sofer has certain halacha related to how much space to leave after finishing a section of the Torah, right? And also, not just each section, but after each parsha, to leave a certain amount of space before the next parsha begins. And also, at the end of each sefer, at the end of Parshas Vayechi, going into Sefer Shmos, there are a certain amount of lines, additional lines necessary when you finish a whole sefer. And sometimes there are instances that defy these rules, and there's beautiful ideas that come from this. So the Chavitz Chaim, on our Parsha, asks the fact that why is it that when it comes to Parshas Balak, there is no Parsha Stuma in the entire Parsha? It's written in the Torah like one long continuous block and one long continuous flow without any breaks, any pauses. And so he asked that simple question. Before going into his answer, I want to share a different idea that will be tied to this. I heard from Dr. Pelkovitz, the neighbor of Simcha Bonim Rav Pesheshcha, who notes how going into Parshas Vayechi from Vayigash, there's actually no break. Like we said, normally there's halachot about how much space there's supposed to be between each parsha in the Torah, but between Vayigash and Vayechi, there's no break. So, what's the reason why there's no break? So he says, because what was happening at that point was that this is basically, at the end of Vayechi, is the beginning of the Shibud, of Shibud Mitzrayim, of Bnei Yisrael's enslavement in Mitzrayim, where in Vayechi we have the death of Yaakov, the death of Yosef, and this is when things started to unravel for Bnei Yisrael. And to symbolize that idea of slavery and of a slave mentality, the Torah doesn't put a space. And let's contrast this with the following. When it comes to Az Asher in the Torah, we're actually very familiar with how it looks, because in the Siddur, in almost every Siddur you use, I know Art Scroll Siddurim use this, where they show the way through in the Torah in a certain amount of spaces. So they'll have a few words, a big space, another few words, a big space, another few words, the next line, and it goes back and forth. And it's very open. And so what's the reason? Meaning, normally we have very set rules, like I said. So Rav Simcha Bonim explains that what happened in Az Asher. Az Asher was the official end of the Shibud. Up until that point, even though it's true, they already had physically left Mitzrayim, but we know that the Mitzrayim were chasing them, and the Mitzrayim were on their tail, and they thought they were going to get killed by the Mitzrayim. Right? And then even right before they sang Az Asher, what happened, we were told that Bnei Yisrael were scared that the Mitzrayim were still alive and came out of the other side of the Yarden. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to wash the bodies ashore in order that they see that the Mitzrayim were actually dead. And that's when they sing Az Asher. That was the end of it. And so Simcha Bonim explains the contrast between the no space right before Vayechi, at the beginning of the slavery, to this huge open section in the Torah at Az Yashir, which is at the end of the slavery. Why? Because a slave can't think for themselves. A slave is so busy doing one thing and another and has no time for anything. Right? It's one of the reasons why a slave, someone who's a slave, is pater from mitzvah seishas mangrama, from time bound mitzvos, because they can't think for themselves. If their master says, you have to do this, they have to do that. It doesn't matter whether they have an hour left till sosman kriyat shema, and this job is going to take an hour and a half. So that's the reason why they're exempt from mitzvah seishas mangrama. But aside from even just the time, they can't think for themselves. They can't do what they want to do. And as Asher symbolized the freedom that they had, that Bnei Yisrael had, to be autonomous, to be a thinking people, to do what they want, to not have to listen to the slave masters, the people with the whips who were beating them for a few hundred years as they were building the pyramids for them. And so if you go to our parsha, so the Chavetz Chaim says, so why in our parsha, why is it that there's no stuma? Why is it that there's just a straight, continuous flow? And the Chavetz Chaim says something beautiful. He says at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, we're told that the reason, Rashi notes that the reason why there are parsha stumos in the Torah is because between each section of Nevuah that Moshe is given, after writing each section in the Torah, or experiencing each section, Moshe is able to stop, and Moshe was able to reflect and think about what had transpired and potentially learn lessons going forward about the next episode that was going to happen in his life. Chavetz Chaim says that Bilam HaRasha, didn't do that. And the Torah, without having any breaks in the whole parshas, teaches that lesson, that he never stopped to think. He never took toll of what was happening, never took a break and a second to reflect upon what was happening, to think, maybe I should stop what I'm doing, maybe I should go on a different path. And he just went on and on and on and on. Unlike Moshe Rabbeinu, who's Anav Mo Mikol Adam, who's the greatest leader we've ever had, the greatest Navi of Bnei Yisrael, who, as great as he was, part of his greatness was he knew to stop and reflect. He knew to stop, take a moment, pause, and breathe. And we live in such a fast-paced world. There's no other door that could imagine what we go through in 2019. There's no other generation. If you were to take someone who lived in the 1800s and bring them to where we are now, to the technology that has absorbed our lives, the fact that every single second we're being infiltrated with emails and texts, and we constantly feel the need to respond right away. And we feel as if I don't respond within the next 10 minutes, they're going to think I'm kidnapped or something. And because of that, we're involved in a million different things at once. And we don't stop and pause and think for even a second. You should know there's a scientific study that has proven that the average attention span now is shorter than that of a goldfish. A human attention span is now 8 seconds long, while a goldfish has an attention span of 9 seconds. And it's this idea, it's constantly jumping from activity to activity, not being able to just stop and think and focus. Imagine like what it's like to be able to just sit without any electricity, without electric devices on, to just sit and read something from a text, not from a computer screen. To shut off someone's phone, right? How often is it during davening where it shouldn't be, but it is, of course, where even during davening itself, people are checking their phones and checking their emails and checking their text messages. But certainly even the second someone leaves shul, that right away they're on their phones. And feel like, oh my God, what did I miss? What's going on here? And we have to be able to learn this lesson, to not be like Bilam, to not just rush from one thing to another. That was part of his mistake. But to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, to stop and reflect, and to pause, and to take stock of what's going on, to see the path that we're going, to see, is it the right thing for us? Is it the wrong thing for us? And no better time than right now, summer, whether even if you're working full-time, summer still, hopefully, is a little bit more of a relaxing time than the rest of the year. And it's time to be able to take a break and to shut off one's devices, to try to, maybe the next time you get a text, deliberately, maybe wait 10 minutes or 10 additional minutes from whenever you see it to when you're going to respond. And realize you're not a slave to the technology. And then you have to be able to take a pause and to take a break in life in order to have some menuchas nefesh. And we should all be zocha to be able to be relaxed, to be able to take stock of what's going on in our lives, to be able to adjust, if need be, to go on the right path.